Praise you, Jesus. Glory. That was rich, wasn't it? I tell you what, when you learn who you are, it makes being led of the Spirit so much easier because you're not trying to do all those rules anymore. You're just trying to let the free flow of the love of God come through you. And you're not worried about, you know, the dress code and the makeup regulations and where you can and cannot go. You just go where you think you ought to go, and does the Holy Ghost agree with it? And does the Word agree with it? Amen. Too many people are trying to find agreement where the Word has already said no. Amen. But praise God, righteousness sets you free from the law, from all the do's and don'ts. Amen. And I tell you what, and you can even get legalistically about being charismatic. You follow me? You can get legalistic about being charismatic that, you know, well, you have to pray 4 hours a day, then you have to have tongues 2 hours a day, you got to be in the Word another 6 hours a day. And I tell you what, there was a time, this is the honest truth, there was a time, every day I finished my day. I was working full-time in Frankfurt. This was early on. And I knew I had to be spiritual and pray in tongues and read. And every day I'd finish and think, I didn't get enough time in the Word today. I didn't get enough time in prayer. And I got time. But I didn't get all the hours I felt I need because I might be doing intercession, but I didn't get all the petitions that I wanted. Or I didn't, you know, get all the tongues that I wanted, all the Word. You know, I only got to read 3 chapters. I wanted to read 12 chapters, you know, 12 chapters a day. And I'd feel so condemned. Till one day the Spirit of God says, I want you to write down all the things you think you should do spiritually a day. And I did. And you think me being mathematicalist would have been obvious. I've still got the list in my desk. I keep it. And I wrote down, I should have at least an hour in tongues, personal tongues, an hour in intercession, an hour in petitions. Are you following me? I should have at least 2 hours in the Word, and by the time I added up everything I had to do and threw in working the 8 hours, I was like up to 30-something hours or something. I was just sleep, forget sleep, and at the time I was pretty much doing without sleep. And when I found out who I was, I got free of that list. I mean, it used to be I'd try to read 5 chapters a day, 5 Psalms and a proverb. You follow me? Nope. 10 chapters a day was my goal, I think. It was a bunch. And I'd get busy and I'd miss a half a day or a day and I'd be behind. I think I got to catch up. Next thing I was behind the entire book of Proverbs 3 times and Psalms, you know, 1.5 times, and it just wasn't happening. And then I learned to be led of the Spirit in my reading and my study. It's so liberating. Amen. Now, it doesn't liberate you from studying. It liberates you from the regulations of study. And when you're caught up in the regulations of study anyway, you're probably not getting a whole lot because you're just doing it legalistically. Amen. You're not doing it out of relationship. Well, during this session, we're going to talk about the rewards of righteousness. Amen. Why is it I want to get a hold of this righteous revelation? But I'm going to start off talking about what it takes to step into this revelation. It's going to take more than just attending a conference. When I first came into revival back in 1987 with Pastor Callahan, and I would go to church, and I'd come out of religious church, and it was a Pentecostal church, and so they prayed in tongues and everything. But when I came under Pastor Callahan, he started preaching revival, and he started preaching the promises of God. The first one he taught on was the healing power of God. He taught on healing all the time. Let you know why he flows in it today. And he would be talking about how it's always God's will to heal. Amen. God wants you healed every time of everything all the time. And I'd say, well, I don't know about that. I heard that God put sickness on you to teach you a lesson. You follow me? I've heard sometimes it's God's will that he wants you sick. I mean, I've been to church. I knew these things. I said, I got to check this out. So I went home. And I didn't have, you know, we didn't have the Bible on computer back then. That's been that long ago. And I got out the Strong's Concordance, you know, the one that you would put under the TV to raise it up another 6 inches or so. I got out the Strong's Concordance, and I looked up and wrote down every verse in the Bible with heal or healing in it. Heal, healing, everything in it. I wrote it down by hand. and made me a list several pages long and started studying it. I'd look them up and read them in context. I'd read them again. And I realized after going through them, he was right. Jesus healed everybody. And so I spent time in that list, confessing the list, meditating the list, going over it over and over again. And something happened over that time where all of a sudden I got a hold of divine healing. I found that I could stand myself against sickness symptoms and see them leave. And I've seen several miracles in my physical body that medically were impossible. Yet because I stood on the word, God healed me. Now what's that all got to do with righteousness? I had to work that word over and over again. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Don't think you're going to get a hold of righteousness because you came to one session on it. All this is going to do is inspire you to want to develop it in your own life. But you will have to do the homework to meditate scriptures on righteousness to get this word in you that you can step into it. Because if all it is in your head, if it's all just based on mental ascension, then you're going to be calling yourself righteous and condemnation is going to be eating your lunch. You'll always be crying about how you let God down. You know, I always felt bad because I always let God down because I broke the fast after, 20 days instead of went the whole 21. You know, I drank some broth in the midst of a water fast because I felt weak. I'm sorry, God, please don't take my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I won't feel these ways, you know. Oh, God, please still let me step into your calling. Oh, please don't be disappointed with me. I was so concerned about letting God down because of this legalistic thinking that I stayed condemned. I stayed miserable. But when I got a hold of righteousness and I did with righteousness what I did with healing, I got the verses out. I have lists on righteousness scripture. And I would meditate them and I would confess them. They were part of my daily confession. And what happened is the revelation of righteousness moved from my head down to my heart. And I knew that I knew I had liberty. Amen. I knew that I knew I had authority. I had anointing. And it made all the shift, all the change in my life and shifted me to another level of walking in the joy of the Spirit. I did not enjoy Christianity until I discovered righteousness. And can I just lay it out there like it is? I didn't enjoy it. I had more fun in the world as a heathen, staying drunk and throwing up about, every week or two, hung over 3 days a week at least. I had more fun as a heathen than I did as a Christian. Because as a heathen, I didn't find condemnation. That was who I was. I got saved. And I was trying to be Mr. Perfect and couldn't do it. And I found that God already accomplished the perfection for me. Amen. In fact, one of the verses, Pastor Sherry went to it since we're in this flow. She went to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the Spirit, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When I got saved and read that verse, I didn't read it right. I read it like this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but perfect in the Spirit. That's how my mind interpreted it as I read it. That if you were walking after the Spirit, you had to be walking perfect after the Spirit. And everywhere I would make a misstep, I'd say, oh God, I'm sorry I didn't walk after the Spirit at that time. Oh God, I'm sorry I watched the football game. Oh God, I'm sorry. And always feeling bad because there were times the flesh would rise up. I'm sorry I ate that seventh donut. Oh God, I should have stopped after six. Understand, you're safe up to six donuts. After six, you're moving into transgression realm. Gluttony may be setting in. Anyway, I would fight this condemnation because I didn't do it perfect. And one day, the Holy Spirit's so faithful when you have a relationship. He says, read that verse again. And I read it. And he says, I didn't say perfect in the Spirit. I said, after the Spirit. Are you going after the Spirit? If you're going after the Spirit, you have the right to walk condemnation free. That's when you can say, condemnation, get away from me. I'm going after God. Now, other people take that and say, there's no condemnation, as Pastor Sherry said, but for those that are in Christ Jesus, and they stop there. and they think they can do what they want to do, and there's no condemnation. But if you're sleeping around, if you're on the internet on the wrong websites, are you following me? If you're cussing out everybody you come in contact with, if you're, you know, miserable to be around because there's no Holy Spirit manifestation in your life, then you're not going after the Spirit. And condemnation will eat your lunch. And you can say you're righteous all you want. It isn't working. Because if it was down inside of you, it would be manifesting as a walk of love. See, righteousness revelation is not just an excuse to be free of the condemnation of sin. Righteousness revelation will take you into the fullness of walking in the outflow of God's love in your life. And that's what, as Pastor Sherry was talking about, frees you from the condemnation. Is you're now walking in the perfection of God's plan. Oh, hallelujah. So let's look at a few verses here. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we've been touching on this, but let's just kick it off with this again. Chapter 5 and verse 23. Paul says, and the very God of peace, oh, praise God, the God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. He says here, God wants to preserve you blameless, spirit, soul, and body. Now, when you got saved, he gave you the new nature. He made you blameless spiritually. But he wants to bring you into a transformation where he can now save your soul and bring you into a place where you're blameless throughout. Are you following me? That you have not only control, you know, that you've been saved, but you have control of what you think. You have control of what you say. You have control of what you do, because you're letting the inner man being manifested outwardly. Now you're walking a blameless life. Now understand, you will still make mistakes. But if you're going after God, you can still say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and keep going down the path. God never meant for Satan to be able to slap you and say God's upset you because you reacted wrong to it. Are you following me? And have you quit? God does not want you to quit. One of the reasons he gave us the righteousness revelation is so we can keep going on without condemnation and pulling us down to the ground. You will fall. You will stumble. But if you'll just get up and say, I'm going after God, you can leave condemnation in the wake. Amen. Next time, you know, attempt to do better. Next time, learn to call upon more grace or anointing. And if you fall that time, get up again and keep going. But understand, this is talking about where you're targeting sin. This does not work where you're targeting sin. We're talking about where you fall on the way. Whole different matter. Amen? So God wants us to be saved, spirit, soul, and body. James chapter 1. Another one of my favorite verses in Scripture. James 1:21. He writes, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That sounds bad right there, doesn't it? And receive with meekness, teachability, be instructable, be changeable, meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Understand, when you got saved, your soul wasn't saved. Your spirit was saved. But God said, if you'll take time meditating the Word, then the program of the Word will reprogram your thinking, and where you start thinking in alignment with what God has said in His Word, what He said about who you are, you let God change your thinking that you recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? And your soul moves to a state of being saved. And once your soul moves to the state it realizes what God did on the inside, you'll start living outwardly the spiritual DNA God engrafted within you through being born again. Do you see that? But it takes time in the Word to do this. This revelation does not come automatically. I cannot lay hands on you and say, okay, you have the righteousness of revelation into the fullness. You cannot lay hands on people and impart righteousness revelation. God said it's your responsibility to open the book and let the book speak into you. Amen. Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10 has an interesting verse here. And it's really the only verse of its kind in Scripture. Hosea chapter 10 verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He come and rain righteousness upon you. Anytime you sow seed anywhere in Scripture, seed is always sown outward. Are you following me? You sow in service to other people? Are you following me? You sow finances into different positions? You speak the word into different areas? But God said, there's a place I need you to learn to sow to yourself. Learn to sow righteousness into yourself. Now, what does that mean? That means go through the Bible. The Bible says the seed is the word of God. Go through the Scriptures and find verses that deal with righteousness. And then speak them into yourself. It's okay in this situation to get in front of the mirror. Write the verses on the mirror. Put them on sticky sheets and put them on the mirror. And look in the mirror and say, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Pastor Sherry is going to get to more verses that deal with this later tonight. But you start speaking into yourself who you are. You refuse to identify with who you used to be anymore. I tell you what, having been in this for some time now, when I look back at my old man, my old life, and Patty and I, we had some crazy days in our old life. I was raised an atheist, and she acted like one. It was out there. We were doing it. And I look back now, and I can't recognize that person. I'm thinking, who was that idiot? Yeah. What happened? I started sowing righteousness into myself, and it changed my revelation of who I was, and I don't see myself as that old person anymore. Now, for many years in Christianity, I did. It was over 10 years that I was saved and still didn't understand righteousness. And I still identified with the old man. But once I started sowing righteousness into myself, it changed my revelation of not just what God has given to me, but who God has made me. Are you following me? And only then will you really step into your calling. Only then will you really find out who you are. Because the old man and your revelation of who, or your image of who you were in the old man was all contaminated by sin. It's contaminated by what the world, who it said you had to be. So in the world, we're always trying to be the perfect man, or in some cases, others trying to be the perfect woman, some people both. There was confusion. People didn't know who they were. I did not find out who God made me until I found out who He said I was. And you can sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, plow up, break up your fallow ground, plow up the hardened areas of stubbornness trying to hold to who you think you should be. Amen. You know that nonsense that real men can't cry. Amen. They can cry if they need to. That nonsense that real men don't love. Love is for women. That's hardened ground. Real men can't lift their hands in praise and tell God they love Him. That's nonsense. Plow that up. Find out who God made you and let it manifest. So let's look at some verses dealing with this righteous nature. Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at where Jesus kicked it off here. He's early in His ministry. He's preaching His Sermon on the Mount of Olives. And He says in verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. See, when I read that now, I read the word differently than I used to. I used to read that blessed are those that want to live perfect. You understand, righteousness is not what you do, it's who you are. Righteousness is not a list of do's and don'ts, it's the divine nature of God. Are you following me? And when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're hungering and thirsting for the revelation and the manifestation of your righteous nature to come forth. You follow me? You're wanting more to do more than just fulfill the law. You're wanting to fulfill who God made you. And you start hungering in the Word to find out who you are. You start hungering for righteousness' sake. You start searching the Word on the sake of discovering righteousness, and you will be filled. God's going to fill you because that's who He wants to fill. He is not filling old wineskins full of sour grape juice. Are you following me? Those old religious containers, He can't fill. As much as He fills them, all they do is once something is fermented and started to go bad, anything poured into it just goes bad as well. So they start to minister out of that contaminated mindset and start to contaminate everybody they come in contact with. Did you see that? You've got to hunger and thirst to find out who you are in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Pastor Sherry was on this earlier, and she's right. She was about to get over into my territory, and I prayed her off. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Here it says we're to look into the glass. That glass is the Scriptures. Are you following me? We all with open face, we all with teachableness, open face teachableness, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. God here is saying this is His Word. It is Jesus in print form. And it says you've got to look in this book and see the reflection of glory. This is a book about glory. This is not a book about condemnation. This is not a book about hell. It's about a book of deliverance from hell and exaltation into glory. And God says, I need you to get out of the hell mindset and start looking in the book and start seeing the glory image. He says, if you'll do that, you'll be changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. As you start seeking righteousness in the Scriptures, you start seeking who God made you, you start looking for God's glorious exaltation of your life, you're going to be changed into that image. And all the power and authority connected to the glory comes with it. See, here's how most Christians read the Word. Most Christians and religious read it like that. They read the Word, and they'll get all into all the, you know, do's and do nots. And all it is a tester taking, did I pass this one? Did I fail that one? Did I pass this one? Did I fail that one? Failed, 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 failed. And they close the book and say, I blew it again. I am so worthless. You have all these things I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not praying enough. I'm not saving enough people. I'm not going to church enough. Are you following me on that? And it becomes just a list. It becomes a book of condemnation. The Word says the law is not written for a righteous man, but for sinners. If you read the book as a legalistic book of do's and don'ts, you're putting yourself in a sinner category. This book for righteous people was written to bring them into the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. This is a book of the glory. And God says, look in it and see what I've given you. See the blessings I've made available for you. Look at what I've made available through your right standing in the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. What a difference it makes. So you start looking for the Scriptures that deal with who you are and what He's given you. I rarely go read the Big Ten, read the Ten Commandments, and read all the law, other than to see what God's typologies are in it. I don't read them to say, am I stealing? Am I lying? I'm hoping I have enough relationship with God, He would tell me that before I had to go read it. Amen. I'm reading the book to find out what's he say is in my destiny regarding the glory and the coming revival. What has he said is what we have to line up with to see that come to pass. Amen. And then in reading, I let the Holy Spirit bring stuff to life through those scriptures as I process it through my soul. Amen. And so to move into your righteousness, to move into the revelation of righteousness, you have to seek it out in the scriptures. You've got to spend time meditating these scriptures. Amen. And then once you've got it down in, you will have to guard it. You got to guard it. The devil is after your righteousness revelation. You can be saved and have a hold of this for 10 years, 20 years, and he's still going to come and try to steal it and try to make you think that you're some worthless person. He's going to try to bring you back into failure mentality status. And you have to guard your righteousness. I mean, you can mess up where you lose your temper, you have the meltdown, you eat the refrigerator and everything in it, you follow me? You spend, you know, every credit card full you have. You do like Pastor Sherry did and almost take out another loan. Heaven forbid. You follow me? And the devil comes and says, you thought you were such a saint. You thought you were so good. You thought you had this stuff down. Look at you. Now you've got another debt. Look at you. Now you lost it again and you ate too much. Now you lost it again and you spent too much. Now you lost again and you watched TV all night again. Are you following me? Now I'm not saying, oh, it's okay. You went out and you shot up again. You went out and you don't even go there with me. Amen. That's a whole other category. Praise God. There you're on the child porn sites again. No. Any porn sites, right? Here's the point. The devil wants to bring you back into condemnation. And there's a verse in Job that is one that was on my daily confession list for years, and I still speak it over myself all the time. Out of Job chapter 27, one of my favorite verses in Scripture. Again, in fact, if we had a title of today's message, it would be my favorite verses. Job 27, verse 6, Job says, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. I refuse for condemnation to have entry into my life. I refuse to entertain that I'm falling short of the glory. I refuse to let any thought pass through my thinking where I meditated on with regard to somehow I've let God down. Amen. You know, again, this is one of the ways I like to put it. You can't let God down. You're not holding him up. Again, I heard that from Pastor Philip years ago. I'm not sure if he was the originator or not, but I like it. You're not holding him up. You can't let him down. Amen. In the same fashion, you've got to guard your righteousness revelation. Now, here's the problem. I've had people use this against me. As I mentioned earlier, I've had counseling sessions where the two people, they're sleeping together. They're not married. And they're sleeping together repeatedly. I say, you can't do that. That's not allowed. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My righteousness I hold fast. I shall not let it go. And you'll not condemn me so long as I live. Don't be using that verse on the pastor. He might know something. Are you following me? There are limits to the application of that verse. As Pastor Sherry taught us, this is not a license to sin. It's an opportunity to move into deeper in a relationship with God than you ever thought possible. Amen. Job 29. Job says, I put on righteousness, verse 14. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. See, most people think judgments in the scriptures are always bad. But whenever there's a court case, there's a civil case, there'll be a judgment for and a judgment against. And the devil wants to bring you into judgment mindset where you think God's judging you and it's all bad. But Job says, I put on righteousness. I'm putting this garment on. I'm clothed in righteousness. Revelation 21 says, white linen is the righteousness of the saints. I put it on, and my judgment was a robe. My judgment was a royal diadem. My judgments are all honor and blessing. Amen. Because I'm carrying the honor of being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we don't have time to go there tonight, but you know why God blessed Noah? Why God saved Noah? It says because Noah was found righteous in God's eyes. And nobody else was. Why did God save Abraham? It says because God believed Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. For righteousness' sake. God says, I see you because you're believing me. I'm going to impart to you righteousness by faith. Regardless of your works. And of course the scriptures say, they which be of faith, regarding faith for salvation, are the seed of Abraham. This whole thing is about righteousness. Paul's number one revelation. Paul's number one thing he wrote about. The whole book of Galatians is about escaping the law and finding out that we're righteous by faith. And yet religion reads it over and over and over again and somehow brings condemnation out of it all the way through Paul's writings. The entire book of Romans is about being freed from the law, and they always go to chapter 3, verse 23 and 6:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 6:23, and the wages of sin is death. And leave off the second half, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. They focus on those two verses and bring the whole book of Romans subject to the law of condemnation. And it is the book about deliverance from just that. That's the power of the enemy to bring darkness where there is no relationship. Did you follow that? Proverbs. Well, I tell you, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here's another verse we have misinterpreted. And I hear great men of God preach it all the time and preach it wrong. But that's just because they haven't heard us correct them on it yet. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you see that? Study to show yourself approved unto God. Did you know if you're saved, and this is talking to saved people, if you're saved, God already knows you're approved. No amount of study you're going to do is going to change God's image of you as being righteous. Well, he finally read enough chapters, I approve of him now. That's back into works. That cannot be what that verse means. What he is saying is, now read it, study to show yourself that you're approved. You are a workman that because you studied and found it out, you don't have to be ashamed. You have righteously divided the word of truth. Because you can either unrighteously or righteously discern the word of God. Are you following me? And once you get a hold of the righteousness revelation, you can start studying the scriptures with regard to finding out who you are, and it will change the entire way you perceive yourself in the scriptures. And all of a sudden, instead of always reading the word and seeing how condemned you are, how worthless you are, how you let God down again, you'll be reading the word and see once and again, God's approved of me. I'm his righteousness. I'm his favorite. He's blessed me. Again, I better be careful. I'll get on to Pastor Sherry's verses in a second. Are you following me? Study and show yourself that you're approved. Was that one of your verses tonight? Hey, phew, praise God. Proverbs 11. Y'all get ready for this because we're about to hit another gear here in just a few minutes. Y'all ready to hit another gear? Proverbs 11 verse 18 says, the wicked work of the deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. He that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Now where did we find out of Hosea we're to sow righteousness? to yourselves, sow to yourselves in righteousness. So we could plug in with what we know now. He that soweth righteousness into himself, to him you're going to receive your reward. See, you will not really start stepping into your rewards until you find out that you are righteous. And we're going to start looking at what God said we can have through finding out who we are. There is a whole package of blessings God has laid up for the righteous. Not for the Christian. Understand, the Christian is righteous, but because he doesn't know it, he can't access it. You cannot access out of the Word what you can't use your faith to obtain. And if you don't know about it, you can't use your faith for it. God intends for us to get in here, find out who we are in Christ Jesus, find out what our inheritance package is, and then start accessing it by faith. And that faith is supercharged by finding out that you're righteous, because it lets you set aside the weights of condemnation. Am I going too fast here? With that in mind, then turn to Psalms 18. It says, if you will sow righteousness to yourself. See, I'll tell you what, a lot of people have a problem with this in Christianity, but the truth is God made us reward-oriented. He made us reward-oriented. You follow me? You won't keep doing what doesn't produce. A lot of people have quit sowing in these end times, quit tithing because they didn't see a quick enough payoff. It wasn't that it didn't work, they just didn't see it quick enough. Are you following me? You will keep doing what you see will produce. You will stop doing what you don't see produce. And God says, if you'll sow righteousness to yourself, you will see it produce. And I'm here to tell you personally, me personally, no revelation has ever produced, other than salvation, no revelation has ever produced in my life like the revelation of righteousness has. All of them put together haven't produced like righteousness has. If you were to say, other than salvation, you can carry with you one revelation out of the book. Are you following me? Whether it be prosperity, whether it be healing, whether it be, you know, peace and joy, whether it be relationships, covenant, whatever. If there was one revelation I could carry, I would choose the revelation of righteousness. Because if you get a hold of that, the others become automatic. You find out who you are in Christ Jesus, all of a sudden, sickness, come on me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You follow me? Me be broke? Glory to God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God says there'll be reward of that revelation. In fact, Psalm 18, verse 20 says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. God says he'll reward you according to your righteousness. Well, how righteous are you? You're as righteous as Jesus. But understand, it's only the righteousness you have revelation to you can access. If you don't know it, if you still think you're a worm, you can't have it. Those rewards will always be just out of your reach because you're never quite good enough to get hold of that carrot. You're never quite good enough to get a hold of that reward. Well, maybe if I just pray another hour every day, then I can get it. No, there'll be something else to condemn you. You better find out that you are not ever going to be spiritual enough to be righteous before God. You better get it from the cross. Look at verse 24. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me, rewarded me, according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. God sees you through the filters of the blood of Jesus. Through the rose-colored glasses, he sees you through the blood. Are you following me? He sees you as perfect. You know what? You are. God's not deluded where he didn't see you right. You know, we're just these worthless sinners, but God, because of the blood, he can't see sin on us. No. He sees the impact the blood had. He sees the effect the resurrection power had on our life. He sees us as we are. He sees us clean. We're the ones that keep wanting to look through tinted glasses and see filth back in our life. Through defiled glasses, do you see that? But it says God rewards us according to righteousness. Every promise, every blessing of God is accelerated into your life once you get a hold of the revelation of who you are. Are you following me? Who he made you. In fact, let's look at some of those here real quick. Look at Psalm 34. I'm going to try to go quickly here. Psalm 34, verse 15 said, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the Christian, and his ears are open to their cry. The eyes of the Lord are upon the Jew, and his ears are open to their cry." Does it say either of those? What does it say? The righteous. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." We're going to look at scripture after scripture that we thought were for the Christian. And God says they're not. They're for the Christian that knows who they are. When you read they're open to the righteous, he's not talking about those that live perfect. He's talking about those that have received the revelation of who God made them. And God says his ears are open to the cry of the one that knows who they are. And you know what? You get a hold of who you are in Christ Jesus, your cry is not going to be a whine. It's not going to be a sob. Your cry is going to be an outward declaration. "God, your word says this. I believe I receive the full manifestation of your word." And God says his ears are open to that declaration. Amen? I want you to get in the habit. If you get nothing out of today, I want you to get in the habit of start reading the word and recognizing the word right, just, or righteous. They all imply the same thing, right standing with God. And start putting yourself in that category of "I am the righteous." See, there's a whole lot of Christians saying prayer doesn't work because they're crying out and God's not listening. It's not that God's not listening. They're so condemned, they don't know, they don't believe God can hear them. And the Word says you must believe that God hears you for Him to respond. Did you follow that? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean God's answering your prayers. God answers prayers of faith. And when you find out who you are, you now have a foundation faith can be launched out of. Amen. Now you know you have a right to these things versus you're just hoping and praying. Most Christians are begging God and hoping it'll come to pass because surely they're not good enough. God will answer their prayers. But when you get a hold of the righteous's revelation, you'll be saying, "I know God hears me. I know I have rights in the kingdom, and I know He is answering my request." And all the difference is made when it's out of hope versus out of faith. Oh, praise God. What a difference this makes in your life. God answers the prayer of the righteous. Look at Psalm 118. Now that you've got a hold of how we're going to do this, watch what the Word says. Psalm 118, verse 19. "Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter." Listen. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus, when He died at the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in two, signifying the way to the Holy of Holies was now made available. But guess what? The condemned, even though born again, the condemned are not entering in. Because they stop at that place of the veil representing the flesh, representing works and law. They stop at that place of legalistic living and they say, "I have not lived good enough to go into the presence of God," and they cannot go through the veil. But it says the gate of righteousness, the righteous enter through. Jesus was the epitome of living righteous. Are you following me? And He opened the gate within Himself, within His own flesh, and He said, "You can come through now," and those that get the revelation, they are equally righteous, can come through and boldly enter before His throne and fellowship with the Most High Creator God. It's a gate of righteousness revelation. Amen. Not perfect living, but finding out that God made up the difference. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous," not Christian, the righteous. Well, I thought all Christians are righteous, but they don't know it. And because they don't know it, they're not accessing it. "And his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, see themselves as evil, meditate themselves as evil, speak themselves as evil." Did you follow that? James chapter 5. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We're going to find out God put righteousness all the way through the Scriptures, and we just didn't know it. I never picked it up before I got this revelation. I'd read righteousness, but I didn't read it as me. I read it as somebody else that had to be living perfect. I mean, this had to be Elijah who was living perfect, are you following me, who just never made a mistake. Well, the truth is, the word we found out this morning said, he that's least in the kingdom is greater than he. Are you following me? This is talking about the one that gets a hold of the revelation of who they are. And I always read it in terms of how well am I lining up to being righteous? How perfect am I living to be qualified to be fulfilling all the demands of the Word of God? And I always came up short. And you always came up short. But once you find it was an impartation, not something you can work for, you can say, that's me. My prayers are effectual and fervent. They avail much. Amen. Intercession is so much more valuable, so much more effective, and so much more fun when you find out that you're righteous. Because up until then, most intercession is just begging. Most intercession is a joke before God. They come to the altars and they lay down and they cry, oh God, won't you please, with no revelation of what God already said they have. And I believe it's totally unproductive. Amen? But when you find out who you are, you don't have to lay at the altar and cry anymore. You stand up and say, Father, I thank you for covenant. Based on covenant, you said, these are the petitions I can bring to you from a legal standing according to your word. And declare them forth and believe they're going to come to pass and watch God move. So we see that God, through righteousness revelation, amplifies our prayers. He'll also deliver you from attack. He'll also protect you based on the revelation of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 11. I'm going to go through several of these with the time we have left. So I want you to get used to seeing the word in this fashion. I never read the word anymore. If I see the word righteousness or just, my attention locks on it. Now I know it's talking about me. It's not somebody else way back when or sometime way in the future. This is me. I am the righteous. What is this verse telling me that I have access to? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 8. The righteous is delivered from trouble, out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. I don't care what situation you're in, God says he'll deliver you from it and bring the wicked into that position instead. The righteous. You've got to understand that when you understand your righteousness, you become slicker than a grease pig. Satan cannot hold on to you. There is no snare that can keep you. There's no trap that can hold you. Are you following me? There's no temptation that can overtake you. It is impossible for Satan to hold you because you found out who you are in Christ Jesus. The righteous will be delivered out of trouble. I don't fret anymore. I used to sweat and fear and fret and cry and whine because all these challenges in life and all these things that looked like they were going to overtake me, because the church I was going to way back was telling me that we're just trying to hold on to our salvation and pray it out until the rapture comes and delivers us. And I always thought any day I might be overtaken. Now it doesn't hardly matter when the attacks come, because I already know God's going to deliver me as the righteous out of trouble. I didn't say I don't want to pray some things through, but I know if I will apply myself to the righteousness revelation, I'm coming through it. I know that everything I put my hand to will prosper, will produce, right? Proverbs 18. In verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. the righteous run into it and is safe. You will never know the effectiveness of the name of Jesus in your life until you find out who you are. Because only once you find out who you are, do you recognize really what level of access you have to that power. Because when you understand you are as righteous as Him, it's just like it was your authority you were talking about. It is. Jesus said, I give you all authority. But you don't step into that until you know who you are. Isaiah 54. Now, if there are a couple verses to get after today, everybody here needs to have these verses in their spiritual holster. Isaiah 54, verse 14, says, in righteousness, righteous is revelation, shalt thou be established. You will never be established in church. You will never be established in your calling. Established means to be immovable. Established means there's nothing the enemy can do to uproot you. Established means you're founded to something that's not going to move. You're anchored to it. And he says, in the revelation of righteousness shall you be established. Amen. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. Now I'm going to say something, nobody get mad at me. But any time in your life you entertain oppression, discouragement, frustration, anxiety are all evidences of you don't know who you are. How many woe is me days do you think Jesus went through? Oh God, I can't take anymore. Oh, and I know the cross is up front too. Oh God, Father God, please. All these idiots you surrounded me with. Oh, I'm the only righteous one left. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't entertaining oppression. He was taking authority over oppression. In righteousness, you will not entertain oppression. You will get mad at it. In fact, the scripture says oppression makes a wise man mad. Not crazy, angry. Because you recognize it doesn't belong in your arena. And it says, and you shall be far from fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you, right? You better read it. Thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Righteousness revelation sets you free from oppression, fear, and even terror. You can laugh at it. When the sound in the night, you know, takes place, you go, oh, what was that? Just go, I'm the righteousness of God. Shut up, fear. And you start arresting that in your life. Amen. Verse 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue, including demonic tongues, that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. I should plug in here, every tongue that will rise up against thee except your pastor in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Some people think correction from the pastor is condemnation. You're condemning me! No, I'm instructing you. You're about to blow it. He says, you'll condemn it. Condemn condemnation. When condemnation comes your way, say, no, I condemn you. You don't condemn me. Got you last. No touchbacks. He says, this is the heritage or inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. This is prophetically talking about us being positioned by God where no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Let me remind you as well, one of the parts of the armor of God is the helmet of salvation. Right? And the breastplate of righteousness. God says you can be protected from every hit against your heart by righteousness revelation. Are you with me? But then the one I want to go to here with what time we have left is this one about money. Because the truth is, you find out who you are in Christ Jesus, you will never entertain again that you're going to be broke. You may be in a time of lack. You may be in a time of need. But you're going through where you're going to have plenty. Psalm 35. Verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God says, you get a hold of righteousness, revelation, and money is going to come your way. And God takes pleasure in that prosperity. Why? Because it's coming out of the revelation of who God made you and what's his position. He's positioned you to receive. Psalm 37. We're going to see some things here. You're going to see some verses that have been abused in the past. Psalm 37 verse 25 says, David says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. See, people will say, that verse isn't true. I see Christians begging all the time. But you don't see Christians begging who have the revelation of who they are. No. They recognize God's got all, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills and he's giving it to us. Are you following me? And they know God's not going to leave them forsaken. He might as well as abandon Jesus as to abandon you. Can you imagine Jesus walking through the wilderness, you know, all of a sudden nothing to eat, you know, no water, and all of a sudden he just drops, passes out, expires in the wilderness because of no food and no drink. God just let him die right there. Is that not crazy? Do you not think God would have had quail flying or manna come down or water from a rock or something? And he's going to let you die who are as equally righteous as him? Just call upon him. He will save you in the day of tribulation. Psalm 37 verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The inheritance is for the righteous. Amen. Psalm 112. Verse 2 says, well, let's start at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright. Upright means righteous. The generation of the righteous, the upright, same word, shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. God has wealth in mind for the righteous. And we're going to see, not for all Christians, but for the righteous. In fact, let's go ahead and go there. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 13. We'll go to Proverbs 11. Let's work our way there. Proverbs 11. In verse 30. Says, behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth much more the wicked and the sinner. God says he's going to recompense the righteous in the earth. He's going to pay us. He's going to reward us. Amen. Exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Proverbs 15. I want you to see how much this is in here. And this is just a part of the verses that deal with this. Proverbs 15, verse 6 says, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. God says the righteous will possess much. And then Proverbs 13. This will be like the coup de grace of these. Proverbs 13, 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the Christian. Somebody caught that, didn't they? The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, the righteous, not the Christian. The wealth of the wicked is not coming over to all the church. It's coming over to the church that finds out who they are and are sowing seed based on it. And if they're not faithful with that revelation, you'll get theirs. I'm telling you. Because God's moving to the last days to a remnant church that finds out who they are in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5, last verse. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 13 says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Stop right there. Milk is for those who are unskillful in the word of righteousness. God said, if you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, you're still a baby on milk. You can't even start to move into authority position. You can't start to move into assignment position. You can't start to move into the true power God wants in your life until you move into the revelation of who you are. Once you find out who you are, now you're ready to move forward into the meat of finding out what you can do. But too many Christians are trying to skip the milk, go straight to the meat, and trying to do so much for God without the revelation of who He made them. And it does not produce. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. I tell you what, I'm fired up already. Ready to go cast out some devils. Hallelujah. Anybody need devils cast out? Amen today. We'll just start. It starts first at the house of God. Amen. Father, seal the word in us this day in Jesus' name.